The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
They had a meal together. Doesn't say what they ate. Did they order DoorDash? I don't know. But this reminds us of what? It reminds us of communion with Jesus Christ, right? And what does Jesus say in many places in the Gospels? He says that when he comes back and he establishes his kingdom here on earth, what is he going to do with us? He's going to sit down and he's going to have a meal with us, isn't he? The marriage supper of the Lamb. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus says he's going to serve us at that meal. Think about that.
Even in the age of frozen dinners, fast food, and eating in front of the TV, most of us still value sitting down to dine with the people we care about. Whether your everyday meals are given this reverence or not, you can likely think of special times each year where you make it a priority to slow down and eat a meal with your loved ones. As Pastor Dan will point out in today's message, this practice bore a lot more significance in ancient culture, as does Jesus' promise to serve us and eat with us when he returns. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
See, this is why the new covenant is called a better covenant with better promises. Because under the old covenant, God says, here's my commandments, here's my judgments, now you keep them. And in our inner man, there's this desire, whatever you say to do, we'll do it, Lord. We'll obey you. But I've got this sin nature that is constantly rebelling against God and contrary to God. And so I'm constantly failing in my own flesh under the old covenant. In the new covenant, it's a better covenant with better promises, because in the new covenant, God still has commandments for us. He still has laws for us to follow, but now he puts his spirit in us. And his Holy Spirit empowers us and enables us to keep his commands and to walk in his ways. So now it's no longer on us to keep the commands. Now he puts in us his spirit. He puts in us what we need, the person that we need to do it. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I played basketball every day for hours and hours and hours and hours every day. I'd come home from school, I'd eat some lunch, I'd go to the courts and play basketball. And I was never going to be good, right? I was never going to get a scholarship or play in the NBA. Even if I had Michael Jordan as my personal coach, I just did not have the skill set to be good at it, to play at the college level or the professional level. It does not matter how much instruction Michael Jordan gives me. I just don't have it in me. But if there's a way for Michael Jordan to come to live inside of me, and now Michael Jordan is playing through me, but then it's not really me anymore, it's Michael Jordan. Right? And God says in the new covenant, it's a better covenant because now I'm going to put my spirit in you and I will do it in you and through you and for you as you what? You just walk in the spirit. Now I'm yielding to the spirit and I'm obeying the spirit and listening to the spirit, and the Holy Spirit does it in us. So here in chapter 24, the people agree to the requirements of the covenant. And after they agreed to the requirements of the covenant, saying, we will do it. Verse 4, Moses writes down the words of the Lord. Look at verse 4. Now he's going to write it down. Okay, so you see this is the method of establishing a covenant in the ancient world. First, it's spoken, the people agreed to it. All right, now we're going to put it in writing. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. In verse 4, he wrote down the covenant. Now, verse 4, if you're taking notes, it's significant because we see for the first time in the Bible that the words of the Lord Jehovah were written down. And this is essentially how we got the Bible. His people wrote down the words of the Lord. And look at verse 4 again. So he writes down the covenant, and then he arose early in the morning, and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain, that would be Mount Sinai, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So at the base of the mountain, of Mount Sinai, there's a couple different locations that are believed to be the Mount Sinai. There is one in Saudi Arabia, which I personally believe is the one. And at the base of Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, guess what they found? The remains of 12 pillars and a big altar that's there. And the reason he builds an altar is for sacrifice, because a covenant in the ancient world, a covenant required a sacrifice to affirm the covenant. Now look at verse 5. Then Moses sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. He probably sent young men to make the offerings because he's exhausted from building that altar out there in that heat with all those big rocks. He had to pile up. We should have had the young men build the altar for him. So he sends them to make this sacrifice. Verse 6, and Moses took half the blood and put it in basins. So when the animals are offered, he catches the blood in basins and bowls, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. The covenant is affirmed through a blood sacrifice. Through a blood sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice of the new covenant. The Last Supper, Jesus took the cup of wine after dinner and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Jesus is the sacrifice of the new covenant. Moses sprinkled some of the blood on the altar. This speaks of atonement for sin. The blood on the altar atones for the sins of the people. What is the altar in the new covenant? The cross. The cross. Colossians 1:20 says that Jesus has made peace for us with God through the blood of his cross. His blood was spilt upon the cross, on the altar for our sins, to atone for our sins, to make peace between us and God. Verse 7 says, then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. So Moses reads the covenant now. So he has verbally stated it to them. They agreed to it. He wrote it down. Now he reads it to them. They agree to it again. All the people once again say they will obey the word of the Lord. If you're taking notes, the only other place in the Bible that this name, the Book of the Covenant, is used is in 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23 and the parallel passage in Chronicles. But 2 Kings chapter 23, you find that same phrase, the Book of the Covenant. 2 Kings 23 is when Josiah is king. And Josiah brings reform, spiritual reform, to the nation, including he has the house of the Lord, the temple in Jerusalem, repaired because the temple, the nation had turned away from God. They had abandoned the worship of Jehovah. And so the temple was in disrepair. And so Josiah has men in there restoring it, cleaning it out, and restoring the temple back to worship Yahweh. And as they were cleaning out the house of the Lord, they found, it says, a book in the temple. And it's called the Book of the Covenant. And it's the same name that's given here in Exodus 24. It's the only other place in the Bible that we find that name, the Book of the Covenant. Some scholars believe the Book of the Covenant found in the days of Josiah is the actual Book of the Covenant written by Moses here in Exodus chapter 24. That they found the actual Book of the Covenant, the scroll that Moses wrote the original covenant down on here in Exodus 24. And so they again, he reads the covenant to them now. They agree, yes, we'll be obedient to everything this, the Lord tells us to do. Verse 8, Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. Moses sprinkles the blood on the people, the blood of the sacrifice. And this was done as a way of making this covenant unforgettable. The people will, you know, this is burned into their memory now, this covenant that they're entering into. And think about it. You would never forget if somebody started to splatter blood in your face and blood on your clothes. If right now, if I pulled a bowl of blood out and started splattering it on you, you'll never forget this Thursday night, right? And for the people, because of this experience and the physical experience of having blood splattered upon them, they're never going to forget that they entered into a covenant with God. They're not, oh, that's right, we did have a covenant with him, didn't we? No, they're going to remember this for the rest of their lives. That's the point. And so Moses sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the altar, which speaks of salvation. And then he sprinkles blood upon the people, which speaks of sanctification. So blood on the altar is salvation. Blood on the people, sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart. The people are set apart to this covenant relationship with God. Just as we are set apart by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. Amazing. Verse 10 says, they go up on Mount Sinai now, and they see the God of Israel.
We'll return to Pastor Dan's message in just a moment. First, Pastor Dan would like to tell you about the new Calvary Chapel Ellicott City app.
We recently launched an app for our church, and we're really excited about it. It's designed to keep you connected to our radio ministry, Ring of Truth, as well as to our church, Calvary Chapel. And get this, we have over 1,200 sermons on the app. The app is super convenient, it's easy to use, and allows you to listen to Bible studies anytime, anywhere. So download the app right now, search for Calvary Chapel Ellicott City in your app store, or just follow the links on our website at calvaryec.com.
What a great way to stay connected to Scripture. Now, back to today's message on Ring of Truth.
Now, verse 10 creates a theological problem for some people because it says they saw God. They saw God. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20 says, no one can see God and live. So how did Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and all the rest see the God of Israel and live? And people get really twisted up by this verse, and what they do to try to resolve it is they try to make the verse say something that it simply doesn't say, and that it must mean something else, and that what it says it means, it doesn't really mean. This is especially true among the Jewish people and Jewish rabbis. One commentator, for example, a Jewish commentator, says that they saw the place where the God of Israel was. They didn't see the God of Israel. They saw the place where the God of Israel was. So they actually just saw the place where he had been. They didn't see the God of Israel. Well, if that's the case, why doesn't it say that? Why doesn't it say they saw the place where the God of Israel was? It doesn't say that. Another commentator, Jewish commentator, says that Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and all the rest, they saw God intellectually. They saw God in their minds, in their thoughts. And they didn't actually see God physically. They imagined that they saw God. Why doesn't it say that then? Why doesn't it say that they were all thinking about God at the same time? It doesn't say that. It says plainly, they saw the God of Israel. How is that possible? I submit to you, who they saw was Jesus Christ. And a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in what is called a Christophany. an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ before he's born as the baby in Bethlehem. Turn with me over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has revealed him, it's saying. No one has seen God, but the Son, Jesus Christ, has revealed God to mankind. This is why Jesus could say in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus revealed the Father to us. He revealed God to us. If you want to know what God is like, you look at the life of Jesus Christ. You study the Gospels. Jesus reveals God. I believe they saw Jesus on Mount Sinai. If you go back to Exodus chapter 24, look at verse 10. It says, they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stones, and it was like the very heavens in clarity. Interestingly, Moses only describes here the stones that were under God's feet. He says nothing about the appearance of God. Doesn't say anything about his eye color, or his hair color, or how tall he was, or, you know, was he fat? Was he skinny? Was he muscular? He only describes the stones that he stood on, likely because they're all on their faces before God, and they're kissing those stones, right? And that's all that they see. They're not lifting their eyes up in the presence of God. All they see are the stones he's standing on, and that's all they describe here. Well, Moses, did you see if he has a beard or anything? We didn't lift our eyes that high. We didn't even see his shoelaces. We were just looking at the stones. Now look at verse 11. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank with him. Verse 11 also affirms that they actually saw God. Not just the place where God was standing, not just that they were thinking of God at the same time, that God was in their minds. Verse 11 makes a point to tell us they were not destroyed by seeing God. In other words, verse 11 is saying they saw God and they lived. They saw God and they didn't die when they saw God. They saw God and they ate and they drank with him. They had a meal together. Doesn't say what they ate. Did they order DoorDash? I don't know. But this reminds us of what? It reminds us of communion with Jesus Christ, right? And what does Jesus say in many places in the Gospels? He says that when he comes back and he establishes his kingdom here on earth, what is he going to do with us? He's going to sit down and he's going to have a meal with us, isn't he? The marriage supper of the Lamb. And in Luke's Gospel, Jesus says he's going to serve us at that meal. Think about that. That the only reason we're at that meal is because of his sacrifice on the cross. And when we sit down at that meal, he's going to stand up from the table and he's going to begin to serve us. How humbling is that? But we're going to have this meal together with him. And here you see Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, the 70 elders. They're sharing a meal together with God. They're eating and drinking with him. Amazing. Verse 12 says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them. God will give Moses the covenant written on tablets of stone. Now look over in chapter 31, chapter 31 to the right, chapter 31, verse 18. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So God wrote the covenant on the two tablets of stone with his own finger. And here in chapter 24, the Lord invites Moses up into Mount Sinai even higher so that he can give him these two tablets of stone so that Moses and the elders of Israel can teach God's commandments to the people. That's important. They have to teach the people God's commandments so that the people will know how to live. If they don't teach the commandments to the people and teach the commandments to the next generation, well, then they won't know how to live. They won't know how to keep this commandment. They won't, or this covenant. They won't know how to honor God. And so teaching is important. for passing on the relationship, passing on the covenant to the next generation. We know in Judges that there arose a generation who didn't know the Lord. And one generation, it's completely lost. One generation, you have a generation who knows God's commandments, and they fail to communicate them to the next generation, and that next generation arises, and they don't know the Lord at all. And it says, and they did what was right in their own eyes, instead of what was right in God's eyes. And so verse 13, I promise we're almost finished. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. Now notice Joshua is referred to as Moses' assistant. The word means servant or attendant. It's more like a waiter or a butler, right? And when Moses dies and passes off the scene, Joshua becomes the leader of Israel, and Joshua is the one who takes them into the promised land. But at this point, he's just a servant to Moses. The Bible says, do not despise the days of small things. We're to be faithful in the small things. You know, no matter how menial or insignificant or unimportant it may seem to you, maybe you're a peon in your company. And I'm just a peon. I'm nobody. Well, be the best peon in your company. Be faithful, because God will reward your faithfulness, just as he did with Joshua here. Verse 13 again. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, you wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you, and if any man has any difficulty, let him go to them. So before Moses leaves, he puts Aaron and Hur in charge of the people. You know how that's going to go. Aaron's going to make a golden calf while Moses is gone. Verse 15. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. God speaks to him out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And so Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. So Moses is on the mountain with God. He's on the mountain for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God speaks to him. God's presence is manifested on the mountain in a cloud. God speaks audibly to Moses, and the people saw the glory of the Lord on that mountain. Does this sound familiar to you at all? The corresponding story in the New Testament is the transfiguration of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 17. You have this parallel event that takes place in the New Testament that parallels what we're studying in Exodus chapter 24. In Exodus 24, Moses is up on the mountain. We're told at the end of the chapter, he's up on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He's sustained miraculously by the Lord. And while Moses was on the mountain with God, God gave him the details for the tabernacle, the blueprints for the tabernacle where God will dwell in the midst of his people that we'll begin to look at next time.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
With everything you could have listened to today, we're honored you chose Ring of Truth. Whether it's your first time or your 100th time listening, we know that the Word of God brought a fresh perspective to your corner of the world. Did your faith grow with this message, or did it leave you with questions? If you find yourself with questions, please go to calvaryec.com to contact us so we can answer those questions. You can easily and securely fill out the form found under the Question tab. Columbia, Maryland is home base for Ring of Truth episodes, and we want you in our community. So if you're close, let's meet face-to-face. Sunday service times along with midweek service times are available on our website, calvaryec.com. Make sure to mark your calendar to come. For those of you too far away, don't be discouraged. Use our live stream to still be a part of our family. Don't leave our website without looking at the other resources we have provided to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Before our time is up, would you consider financially donating to this ministry? There are so many more lives to touch for Christ, but we can't do it alone. If you felt a tug at your heart to support us in this way, information can be found on our website, calvaryec.com. Come again for the next edition of Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable, a knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings true.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.